Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. We'd like to welcome you and get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us. We are walking with Jesus and his disciples through the Gospels, the Good News, and this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Andy and I have been doing this, that is walking with Jesus and his disciples for, 43 years, something like that, Andy?
Yeah.
And we didn't really know what we were doing. Now we're realizing this. We thought we were walking with each other, but we were both reading the Bible and so on. It was affecting our lives. But now we pretty much get it, and it's not about us. It was about, and Andy turned out differently, you know, more different than I did, and I turned out different. We had different things that we did along the way. We're married to two different people. We have two different families. But we'd get together and we'd talk about our path, how we've walked with the Lord. And it's just like these brothers here, the cousins and so on. Sometimes they would separate. I think when Peter went to the Mount of Transfiguration, his brother was not with him, but one of his cousin was. So sometimes you take various different paths, but then we find out what the other person did and so on. But it is ultimately all of us following one man who actually was the creator, who actually was God, and Jesus is walking. This whole story in the Bible is these people walking with Jesus. And for us today, it's the same story. Now, we've been asked to join Peter, Andrew, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and so on. All these people, we've been asked to join them in a walk with Jesus. And the focus is not on Peter, because you'll see other people focused on. And you'll see the crowd focused on. It's not about us. It's about walking with Jesus. Each of us, Jesus didn't say, follow Andy, follow Gilbert, didn't follow this minister. Christians always ask us, who's your minister? That is the most ridiculous question when you really think about it, isn't it, Andy? So they're telling us they're man followers. I'm going to be really blunt.
That's how
here.
They look at it. That's what they're selling.
It sounds really blunt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it is. They need to ultimately follow. That man is going to die. And, well, he might even be younger than you or whatever, but he's going to die. Who are you going to follow then? And besides, you're going to become, if you're following an Andy, you're going to be an Andyite, or Gil, you're going to be a Gilite, and Gideonites or whatever, you're going to be of that tribe. But you want to be following Jesus. The thing is, when you follow a man, they all look like that man. They all act like him. You got a room of robots. That's a cult. A lot of churches, they call small groups that meet in homes cults. All these other churches, they're following a man. They followed a Russell. There's two religions that are kind of out there. They followed this man named Russell. They've started in the Baptists, which is not named after a man, but they started off as Baptists, and then they went to Southern Baptist. There must be a Northern Baptist, and if there's a Southern. And there's a First Baptist.
Years ago, I was talking to a minister's wife, and she said that there were 42 flavors of them.
of Baptists.
That's what she said. And this was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure we got more flavors now.
Well, you maybe have 100. Maybe. Or they've broken
when
off
they
into
disagree,
these.
When they disagree, they become another brand, another group of it.
Anytime.
And we're not picking on Baptists. I'm just saying that is literally what somebody told me.
Why don't you focus on Jesus being your minister, not a man? And the thing is, I've noticed when people always say the same man, that's a culture. There's really nothing wrong with culture. We all come out of different cultures, but you're still in a culture. That's what the word cult, that's just a little snappy little four-letter word for culture. What's your culture? And but because of Jim Jones, you know, where people went off and did drugs and committed suicide, that became a cult. And, you know, in the 60s, that became the big word and so on. And the people from the organized church called that a cult. But it's from the word culture. So there's nothing wrong with having a culture. But when you follow a man, that's when you get into trouble. When you say, who is your minister? And it happens to be a man and not Jesus, there's a problem. And what comes out of your mouth, did you know that comes out of your heart? And then they'll make excuses later. No, I follow Jesus. No, that person asked you, and the first thing on your heart was you're following a man. And that's the religion today. And the rulers in the Bible of these different religions, you can put them all into one basket and call them Pharisees or Sadducees. The richer people that sit up a little closer to the minister that really dictate what the minister says, those are the Sadducees, and they didn't even believe in God or the resurrection. But they're business guys, and they handle the money. And Jesus kicked the money changers out of the temple. Is there too much talk about money in your tabernacle, in your tent? And he kicked them all out. It actually should not be a big conversation. You can give to the poor and so on, but are you really just giving to the preacher and then he doles out a little bit and you're making him richer? Really, are you saying one thing and doing another? These are the things that Jesus got at, and they hated him. They hated him enough to kill him. And they were the ones behind his death, not Pilate. Pilate tried to back out of what we found out in Matthew, three times at least. His wife even begged him to get out of it and not
be involved with that.
Not be involved. She had a dream, and she was warned in the dream, and she begged her husband, don't get involved in it. And he was faithful to his wife and listened to her and did it. But I think it was the third time they said, we're going to tell Caesar on you, you know, the one that has the key to life and death. You know, if you go against Caesar, you're dead. And the religious dudes, they held that against him, and they said that right away. And oh, wow. So he handed them, you know, he was handed over to Pilate, and he did that, but it was totally against his wishes. He did it because he was coerced. He was blackmailed to do it. And behind the death, the ones that really killed Jesus were the religious leaders of the day. And that's a rather shocking thought here. And so we're going on about, we're reading in Mark chapter 6, 30 through 44. And we're going to follow Jesus another way. The apostles, they gather together. So let's gather together with the apostles. Let's picture yourself now with the apostles, because that's where we need to be. We're not going to call ourselves an apostle, but we want to be with them. We want to be in their midst. You know, like when you're a kid and you look up to a man and he's following the right thing. Let's say he's following the principles of America that our forefathers laid down. We grew to love those principles in the 1950s. We weren't following a man. We were following an idea, an ideal that was bigger than we were, and that was the American way, which was to follow God. In the 50s, following God was a big thing, wasn't it, Andy?
Yes.
We even said prayers in school. We even talked about God in school, and they banned that. the Herodians, and those people in the politics, they're called Herodians in the scriptures. Lawyers are not lawyers like we think. These were people that were held Moses' law. They were the religious dudes that made the laws. They were lawyers of Mosaic law, their Old Testament. They're nitpickers. They are the religious people that make these laws that God does not make, because he makes laws like the law of faith, the mature law of liberty, and the righteous law, and also the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Those are God's laws. But the lawyers were the ones that were lawyers and held people to another law called the law of sin and death. The Herodians were the politicians of the day. You know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, ultra-conservatives, the MAGA, the woke movement, all of them were generally spoken of as the Herodians. They were the government. They were people that believed in what the government taught. So let's make this current. This Bible is written for all times it's living. So the religious dudes, the rich religious dudes that really didn't believe in God, didn't believe in miracles and so on, and they all had their own different
Even in my hometown in North Carolina, a friend of mine was following Jesus, and his boss, who was a wealthy man, went to the Methodist church, and he heard that this man that was following Jesus quit going to the Baptist church. And so he talked to his friend, rich friend, at the Baptist church about it. And then he told my friend, you get back in your church. That was what it was all about. The two rich guys got together, talked about it, and one of them told the other one to go back to your church or you're going to lose your job. And he fired him because he didn't. It's a true story. Because the money guys weren't the same church, but they were in the same church. They were in the money church themselves together and fired him because he wouldn't go back into his church. It was causing problems in a small town. I mean, it's a true story. You know the guy. Yeah. You met him.
You're right.
This was 30 years ago, but.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. We are in Mark chapter 6, 30 through 44.
And the apostles gathered together unto Jesus and reported to him all things whatsoever they had done.
Oh, they've been sent out two by two, the 12, right?
Yes.
And now they were not with Jesus. They were by themselves.
He showed them what to do, told them what to do, and then sent them out without him. And then they came back and they're reporting what they did. Okay, we're going to take what you said. We're going to exercise with it. We're going to do just what you told us to do. And it says whatsoever they had done and whatsoever they had taught. Notice what's first. The done is mentioned first. The taught is mentioned second.
In another place later on, they're going to discuss with Jesus the things that happened with them, but it doesn't go into that here. We're going to have to wait till we get to Luke and John, because we don't want to jump ahead of what this is saying right here because of this step. We're in Mark. We're in the step of looking at doing everything immediately, being a good servant. So later on, you're going to find more details, but for right now, it's basically telling you where they were apart from him. He sent them out. Oh, by the way, in the interim, it says that John the Baptist had been killed, John the Baptizer, in the context before it. So time-wise now, the main preacher, the main leader, the priest of the Mosaic Law has been killed. That has come to an end. So the attention should turn to Jesus, because the temple is going to be torn down anyway, but the heir to the priesthood has been murdered, been killed, and this is God's design. So now the focus should, in religion, the religious dude should be following this next leader, and they kill him. They kill it instead of following this next leader. If you're in a church that's just leading you to follow a man, you might be following this same pattern. You need to ask yourself if you are really following Jesus ultimately, or you are following a man which is going to be doing the same things the religious people, the religious leaders led their folks to do. So this is to be the end. This is definitely the end in the book of Mark of the old Mosaic law and them going to a temple building. This is now where people are going to start following Jesus, and it's going to explode. The numbers are going to become huge. They're going to be pressed about with this crowd because they're going to see this new government that God is showing them that's going to start in the New Testament where people are set free, they're being healed, they're being raised from the dead. This is going to be a huge difference from here on out. You can sound the trumpet. This is a new age. It's coming on, and you're going to get a taste of it walking with Jesus from here on out in the book of Mark.
And he said to them, "Come you yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a little. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And when they went away in a boat to a desert place apart, and they saw him going, and many knew them, and they ran together there on foot from all the cities, and out went them. And he came forth and saw a crowd, and had compassion on them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd."
Okay, stop right there. He outwent them. That is an Ivan Panin word.
It is. It's not a word we know.
He went before them.
Yes.
But this is, he was raised on Elizabethan, you know, Shakespearean English. Ivan Panin was, so we're reading out of Ivan Panin, but he went on before them. And let's see, there was something in there I wanted to bring out. So here they go to get away, and they can't get away yet.
"And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'The place is desert, and the day is now far spent. Send them away that we may go into the country and villages round about and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered and said to them, 'Give ye them to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go out and buy 200 shillings worth of loaves and give them to eat?' He says to them, 'How many loaves have you? Go see.' And they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all that they should sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up the broken pieces, 12 basketfuls also of the fishes. And they that ate the loaves were 5,000 men."
Can you imagine having a church with 5,000 people sitting in it? And how many fish did they have and how many loaves of bread, Andy?
5 loaves and 2 fishes.
1 loaf per 1,000. You wouldn't even get a slice.
You wouldn't get
a, take a loaf.
You wouldn't get anything.
Take a loaf and divide it into 1,000. What do you have? A crumb? I mean a small crumb.
A very small crumb. If you could get it that small.
And 1 fish into 2,500, or, you know, 2 fish into 5,000, what do you get?
This is an impossibility. You're going to get nothing.
So this, we see something happening here. We see, we know there are the 12 there. Look at the organization here. One place he said he divided them into 50s. There was another place where he actually said 50s, but you can see 50s, hundreds, and in the Old Testament, we remember seeing thousands, you know, captains of.
In an army, like, yeah. He divided the armies into hundreds and 50s and hundreds and thousands.
So you divide it into manageable parts, and you get to a colonel rank, and a colonel is dealing with, you know, colonel general and so on. They're dealing in the thousands, and maybe a captain or whatever is, you know, in the hundreds and
sure,
you know, and so on. And it just depends. I think John Stiginga said he had 2,000 men. He was a full bird colonel. And he had an interesting job in World War II. And it was probably the most sophisticated weapon on the earth. It was. And he was in charge of the delivery systems. The guy that did the best concordance ever in the Greek New Testament. And so he divides them. And would you call this, you know, because you could deal with if they if you fed, you know, you have, how many loaves did they have? 5 loaves? Amongst 5,000?
5 loaves and 2 fishes.
How many loaves would actually be an amazing thing if they were all filled? How many loaves would it take, do you think, feed 5,000? Really, to fill them, I'd say,
let's say
1,000 loaves.
Yeah, you know, 5 people
eating a loaf. Yeah, I mean, to fill them.
Yeah.
And some fish, or maybe, you know, maybe half of that or whatever. So maybe at least 100 or 200 or 250 or 500 loaves.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not enough pot.
And a lot more fish than just 2. So this is a miracle that's starting to get close to raising the dead. This is, it's not there yet, but it is an obvious miracle, wouldn't you call it?
Yeah.
It's an obvious miracle. It is something that's so outstanding, and 5,000 people saw this. But I was thinking, it's just time to, so there's always order. They were like in ranks. So Jesus, they were all chaotic. They were around, but he had them. Did he say he had them sit in this
room? He said he had them sit down.
He had them sit.
In ranks.
You know, there was a, remember, let's go back to chapter 3. In his house, they were sitting, and he was standing, feeding them the word of God. Here he is with 5,000. Here he's standing. He has them sit.
And he's feeding them fish and bread.
Yeah.
There's the picture again.
So guess what the disciples are doing? They were helping.
They were helping him distribute the food.
Right. So every place they're going, they're ministering, and you see this word immediately a lot, straightway. Always pay attention to straightway or immediately. And his disciples are with him, and they are feeding these people. So here he and his servants are going around. How tired do you think they would get at times? I know one time he went off into a mountain to pray, and they passed out. They couldn't even stay awake an hour. They were passing out. He woke them up after they had slept for an hour, and he said, I don't know how long it was, but anyway, he woke them up sometime later and said, couldn't you even watch with me an hour? And he leaves again, and they immediately fall asleep. They're so tired.
They're done.
Yeah. So is this going to be, are you going to be, is the minister just always going to be served? Is he always going to have somebody else doing it? Or is he working? Oh, I got to be in the rectory, and I've got to be studying. Are you seeing him serve people? Is he a work? Does he roll up his sleeves, and is he serving?
Now, that brings an interesting point. The picture that you have now is that there's one servant and a whole bunch of people. Jesus has got 12 of them. He's got 12 of them.
Yes.
Just in this picture.
Yeah.
He's got 12 of them working. And then he's working along with all of them.
Can you imagine a restaurant, you got 5,000 patrons and only 12 waiters? The food is already made because the fish and so on were there, apparently. So just having 12 waiters with 5,000.
That's a lot of work. That's a miracle in itself.
Yeah. But he was using, whose hands were doing it? Jesus is the head, and the disciples, they had 24 hands out there because there are 12 people.
And they're doing it.
Yeah, you can see Jesus being the head, and God's kids being the hands. Are you God's hands? Are you doing your own thing? Do you have your own mind? Or is Jesus' mind? Now, you can make excuses.
Is he handing you the food and you giving it out, or are you bringing your own food and giving it out?
And
which one?
And are you doing it exactly his way? Are you his will?
Doing what he wants done.
First thing it said is in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens. There was another thought I had, and you know, I'm 77, and sometimes some things leave me. There was something I was thinking about. When I think about it, I'll let you know. So the next context is 45 through 52. Well,
the thing that kind of gets me is that they took up the broken pieces, and there was 12 basketfuls left. Now, as if the miracle wasn't enough, there was a leftover 12 baskets full.
Not just double, but many times fold what originally, obviously.
Yes.
There were 7 items, 2 fish, and there's 12 baskets left full.
Yeah. So the next context goes through verse 53.
52.
And straightway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side to Bethsaida.
Now, they were going to do this before, but this crowd mobbed him, right?
Right.
They were headed to do this. That's what he said. But all of a sudden, here's this crowd. And Jesus couldn't let that happen. Love meets a need. They needed to be fed. So there's a practicality too about Jesus was not always ethereal. There weren't just things going on that are heady. He saw that they had a need, and the crowd's need, the disciples needed to rest. They had a huge need to rest, but this crowd's need was greater, wasn't it, Andy?
Sure. They went from getting a rest right here in a few minutes to, first, let us feed 5,000 people.
Do you think they're all going like, oh, no.
Are you serious? Like,
really? Now we're going to feed 5,000, and all we have is just this little bit.
I'll start over. And straightaway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat to go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he himself sends the crowd away. And after he had taken leave, he departed into the mountain.
Didn't it say he went to the mountain to pray?
He went to the mountain to pray.
Okay.
And when even was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed in rowing, for a wind was contrary to them, about the fourth watch of the night, he comes unto them, walking on the sea. And he would have passed by them, but they, when they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that he was a ghost and cried out, for all saw him and were troubled.
Okay, we've got to stop here because we are coming to an end. And the next word is going to be immediately. So until we meet again, may God lead you unto all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.